This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. It's easy to get lost in a spiritualized album. You can get swept away in the layers of sound, immersed in ever-growing waves of buildup and catharsis. But it's not just you, the listener, who can get consumed by it. The same thing can happen to the person making the music. Today, Jason Pierce of Spiritualized joins me to talk about their latest album, Everything Was Beautiful, how it grew and changed in unexpected ways as he worked on it, and how he let himself get lost in the process. That conversation is coming up, but first, performed live by Spiritualized, here is I'm Coming Home Again on World Cafe.
Lost her faith again. She been betting on the race again. Gonna see her run away around. Gonna pack that all up and fool around. Then I'm gonna take it up, baby, or leave it. I'm coming home again. Yeah. Yeah.
You just heard I'm Coming Home Again, performed live by Spiritualized. It's from their new album, Everything Was Beautiful. My guest today is Jason Pierce of Spiritualized. Jason, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thank you.
This is your first album in 4 years, and it's connected to your last album from 2018 called And Nothing Hurt, which you had sort of implied at the time might have been the last Spiritualized album. So when did you make the decision to make another record?
There was no real decision to be made. These tracks were recorded at the same time. My original intention was to do a grand statement, like all of these tracks together, like a double album. And nobody really wanted to release it. Both record labels were kind of, it's going to get lost, like every double album, like especially now that people's attention spans seem shorter than they ever were. So I halved it and kind of concentrated on the first half. And they're kind of linked, like they're linked within their titles, but they weren't, this was never meant as part two or kind of outtakes or demos or whatever. Once I kind of made that decision to concentrate on half of it and then the other half at a later day, it kind of became two separate projects. It wasn't kind of like, I didn't follow the same path for each.
Well, we're going to talk about that path that you followed. So just so people know, the original session where the demos for this album and your last one were in 2013, 2014. And when you look at the numbers for this album, it's a big album in a lot of different ways. It was a long time in the making. You recorded it at 11 different studios with 30 different musicians. You yourself play 16 instruments on it. Could you talk a little bit about this, you know, enormous undertaking? Did you set out thinking it was going to be that big?
I set out kind of how I set out with all the records. Like, I kind of feel like I start the recording process before I've even written the thing. So I just carry on and keep working until it's finished. And on paper, it kind of, yes, it reads a little bit like it was a large project, but the studios were kind of a product of a part to do with the lockdown, but part just convenience that I would get local studios to where the musicians that I was recording were. It wasn't kind of some kind of looking for studio mecca project or right. Something that was particularly fitted to that thing. It was just local to wherever the people were. It's easier for me to travel.
I think a minute ago, did you say that you record and then you write?
Yeah, kind of. I was reminded of that recently, that a lot of musicians complain about not being able to get as good as their demos. Like they kind of fall in love with their demos because I guess part of it's a kind of trick of the mind that the demo holds such promise because it isn't finished, you know, so you can kind of like it in a way that you couldn't, that it's harder to like something that you've said, this is finished. But I kind of record into the pieces that I like. So if I have a demo that I like or a sound or something that comes together, I put it down and then think, okay, I'll write a song around that. So quite often these songs are built around a few bars of a demo or a kind of idea or whatever, and then kind of worked until mostly the lyrics come last, mostly the drums go down last if we've got that far with it. So yeah, on paper it looks like it's a long, complicated, like how do you approach something like this, but it's actually kind of shambolic and sort of like pieced together without a roadmap, as opposed to having some kind of complicated journey to go on.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the logistical restrictions that the pandemic put on you, but as far as completing the music and working on the music, how did existing in the pandemic affect your way of listening to this album and working on this album?
I feel like I get worn out by doing this. I kind of feel like it becomes so important and so kind of overwhelming. And I'm so obsessive about chasing this thing down and trying to get the things right and all the parts balanced. And in a weird way, that it took a lot of the guilt out of that because there was really nothing else to be doing. You know, there wasn't like my kind of done line at the time is at least you don't have to worry about not being invited to the party. And it felt like that helped. It felt like it took all of that kind of anguish of why am I obsessing about 7 pieces of music like this? And kind of made it easier to do that.
Well, let's listen to another live performance. Here is Always Together With You, performed live by Spiritualized for World Cafe.
Always together with you.
Recorded live for World Cafe. That was Spiritualized with Always Together With You. That's the opening track to their new album, Everything Was Beautiful. Today, I'm joined by Spiritualized Jason Pierce. There's a song on the new album called Let It Bleed for Iggy, which borrows lyrics from Iggy and the Stooges' song Open Up and Bleed. What do you remember about discovering Iggy Pop in your teens?
Somebody said to me recently that, like, maybe I saw an ally, like, you know, if he can be that person, I can be anybody. It was like I'd discovered something for myself, that it was my secret. And I think that's more important when you're younger, that you kind of hold on to things. It's harder to know which way to go. It's harder. I know a lot of people would say, I just listen to what I want. You know, I make my own decisions. But when you're young, you're still finding that, I guess. You're still finding that kind of, that ability to say, yeah, I like this, you know, this is what I'm into. I kind of fell in love with Iggy and that image and that whole thing.
What was it specifically about Iggy as a person or as a performer that really drew you to him and made you feel like you had an ally?
I don't know, because I was so young. So anything I'd say would be kind of making, you know, filling in the story after the event. I guess, you know, for whatever reason, I didn't own records. We didn't have money to buy records. We didn't have those kind of luxuries. So for whatever reason, I was flicking through a handful of records in the racks. It was from the chemist as well, which is kind of odd. They used to sell records in the chemists in small towns. I picked up that 99 pence record or whatever it cost and bought it for myself. So. And it feels like, only with hindsight, it kind of changed my life. You know, it really did sort of, early on, I just thought that's where I want to be. And obviously, I'm not, you know, Iggy Pop, for Christ's sake. I'm not putting myself on any kind of level of like I'm after that kind of thing. But it changed my whole, I don't know, whatever was going on in my 14-year-old head at that time, it kind of changed the way I was thinking.
Let's listen to the song Open Up and Bleed. It's Iggy and the Stooges on World Cafe.
I've been pushed. I've been shoved too long. They even tried to buy my songs. I've been
That was Iggy and the Stooges, Open Up and Bleed. I'm talking to Jason Pierce of Spiritualized today on the show. The new Spiritualized album is called Everything Was Beautiful, and we're going to hear you perform Let It Bleed for Iggy from that album live in just a second. But before we hear that, what would you say is the lasting influence of Iggy Pop on your music and this band?
Wow, I've never been asked that. I guess with what you look for is a kind of, when you fall in love with something, I mean, part of it's completely without words, isn't it, music? To put it into words kind of nullifies anything about it, but you fall in love with these series of notes and these words and this attitude. You know, there's just the searching for some kind of originality, even though the voice, even though it's rock and roll, you know, it's the same voice. There's a sort of inherent message locked in it. This kind of no compromise. This kind of like, this is where I stand. This is what I want to shout about. But I guess people seek some kind of point of originality in that, and some kind of like new attitude, you know, but I think it's more than that. I don't know what it is. I don't know what makes the link between these musics. I think Iggy was a kind of source to finding MC5 and Sun Ra and this whole kind of musical journey where everything's linked, everything kind of evolves from the same. Nothing's dropping out of the sky untouched by anything else.
I mean, you've created a, you know, literal link here by writing a song for Iggy. We're going to hear it performed live. Spiritualized, Let It Bleed for Iggy, live for World Cafe.
Thank you.
Let It Bleed for Iggy. That was recorded live for World Cafe by Spiritualized. I'm joined by Jason Pierce of Spiritualized. My name is Raina Duris. We're talking about their new album, Everything Was Beautiful. And that title, Everything Was Beautiful, links up with the title of your 2018 album, And Nothing Hurts, to make the phrase, Everything Was Beautiful and Nothing Hurts, which people might recognize from Kurt Vonnegut's book, Slaughterhouse-Five. Why did that phrase stick with you?
I think from a long, like, there was an idea to use it a long time ago, I guess sometime around Ladies and Gentlemen. It has a familiarity like Ladies and Gentlemen was writing in space. But the reason it resurfaced is I started to reread books that I'd read when I was young. It wasn't an original idea to do that. I'd read about people's sort of, a part was interested in the way that music you listen to tirelessly, endlessly, over again. You can listen to the same piece of music every morning for the rest of your life. But you tend not to do that with novels or books or when films to a certain extent. I know some people will watch their favourite movie 6 or 7 times, maybe more if they're really crazy for it, but it's not the kind of way that you consume music. And so I read a few books that I read when I was 19, 18 or whatever, one of which was Vonnegut, some John Fante, some William Burroughs. And I think the books that I felt like maybe when I was younger that I should be reading rather than, I don't know, I was anyway. And the title resurfaced, it just felt like, oh, there's that line again. There's that thing that I'd considered all those years ago. And I like his kind of cynicism and his kind of like sharp sarcasm and kind of, but always with this kind of love, always with this kind of like, it's not a kind of nasty kind of sarcasm. It's got this kind of, like this kind of empathy and I guess another long answer, but I guess that also given that this album was arriving in two halves, it seemed like a good way to kind of to bridge that as well.
I think it's really interesting that you mentioned the way that we consume music versus the way we consume a book or films, because I think that there is one similarity. You know, when you read a book, it's a solitary activity. It's something that you do alone, and you can get lost in this world that the author has created. And I know you've said in the past that when you're making an album, you make it for an audience of one, and you think about it being for a single person listening. How does that affect the way you make music?
I don't think it does. I don't think I'd sit there going, who's the audience for this? I think you still make music in exactly the same way. But I like the way music kind of becomes personal to your life. I've said so many times before, but the author becomes irrelevant once the music's out there, that it becomes about you and the story becomes about the listener. And I also love the way that they're like almost like religious artifacts or kind of like that they hold, you know, all of this information in 12 inches of vinyl, and it stays there, and it's 60 years later you can still play it, and it holds all this beautiful information, all this amazing stuff that went down. But it doesn't, I don't think about that when I write music. I just make music. I make music and then kind of let that dictate the way to go with it.
I think that's like a beautiful answer, and I love the idea of a record as an artifact. And I've never thought of it that way before. It's almost like a sacred artifact that you can go back and like experience a moment in time the way it was experienced by someone.
I sometimes wish that they came with a kind of, you know, like library books, you know, like with a, I think that with musical instruments as well, that I wish they came with the kind of, you know, like the previous owners kind of thing, just to see where they've been. You know, but I love the fact that the music doesn't change; it's still there. And also, even as they get damaged, and you can listen through the crackles and the kind of scratches and the marks of life, it still holds this beautiful information that can move you or not. You know, that it's not a given. It's not just not even if it's in your kind of the kind of music you're interested in, doesn't mean that it's going to move you. And I love that you can find, you know, some things really touch you and some things, and also as you get older, you think, I've heard it all, I know everything, and you can still find things that astound or kind of like, how did I miss this one? How did this one get away?
Yes. Yeah. I'm speaking with Jason Pierce of Spiritualize on World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. The last song that we're going to hear you perform from the new album is called Crazy. It's got kind of a country twang to it. Patsy Cline also has a song called Crazy that was written by Willie Nelson. Is this a nod to that song?
Not specifically. It's connected through, you know, through the title, through the genre, through whatever, but it's not specifically. It wasn't kind of written with a nod to Patsy in any way.
I mean, you are, I mean, we've spoken about it during this interview, and I know you're obviously a person who thinks a lot about how to put a song together and all of those pieces and moving them around. Country music is a genre where songcraft is a real focus. How has listening to country music changed or shaped the way that you think about writing a song?
They're so concise, aren't they? They're sort of like miniature soap operas written into, I don't know, I mean, it astounds me how anybody can write a song into a 2.5 minute time frame or whatever they cover. I don't know what Tammy Wynette's songs run to, but not much more than 2 minutes, which is just, I can't even get the kind of premise of the story together in less than three. But they're so concise, and I love the language. I mean, Crazy was written with Nikki Lane, and so she writes a lot of songs like that. So it's kind of, it felt like, and also legitimized the use of some of the language, because I've always stayed away from country. I feel like I'm from a small town in England. You know, it's hard to write a country song. It feels like it's kind of, it's not part of my world. And, you know, as much as I love America and American imagery and stuff, there's certain things that are hard to sing. You know, train songs are difficult because the train system isn't quite as romantic in England as in the States. So it's just, I've always sort of stayed, I've written country songs. I think The Straight and the Narrow is a country song. It's not like they're outside, but this one didn't want to go, but like most of the songs, it finds its space, it finds where it sits best and kind of works.
Here is Crazy, performed live by Spiritualized on World Cafe.
Didn't think it could happen again. Love just fell out of the blue. It keeps on knocking, can't let it in. Falling in love like a fool. Time can be cruel. Crazy. messing around with you. Fall heard the story, we know how it ends. Darling, I wish it were true.
Spiritualized, performing Crazy from their new album, Everything Was Beautiful, that was recorded live for the World Cafe. I've been speaking with Jason Pierce of Spiritualized today. It has been such a pleasure talking to you, Jason. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm Rena Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.